Overheard at GCPA's 40th Annual Fall Conference, written by Tom Kleckner, and read by an automated voice. Austin, Texas, the Gulf Coast Power Association celebrated its 40th anniversary, and the Texas Public Utility Commission's 50th, during its annual Fall Conference September 30th, October 2nd. Two institutions that have fundamentally shaped the Gulf Coast energy landscape, GCPA Executive Director Barbara Clemenhagen said in welcoming the 860 registered attendees. The GCPA originally began as the Gulf Coast Cogeneration Association in a new industry birthed by passage of the Public Utility Regulatory Policy Act of 1978. Recognizing that its members' interests were broader than cogeneration, the organization officially changed its name in 1995 and now boasts 150 corporate members and 350 individual members. A panel of ERCOT stakeholders kicked things off by agreeing that while the grid operator's projections of an 80% increase in load by 2030 present a challenge for the market, they are also an opportunity. I think we saw the evolution of that perspective throughout the conversation of Senate Bill 6, said Data Center Coalition's Dan DiOrio, referencing recently passed Texas legislation that directed the PUC to determine a cost allocation for large loads to ensure they're paying their fair share of infrastructure expenses. SB 6 started as a challenge, or we can view this as an opportunity. It's an opportunity for Texas to lead the way, DiOrio said. There's a small little project in Abilene, the massive $500 billion Stargate project, an artificial intelligence network that includes a 200-megawatt substation that got announced that I think is emblematic of that. It's emblematic of the opportunity for Texas to lead the way in our global competitiveness for digital infrastructure, AI development, all the innovative technologies that we all rely on. So, this is an opportunity for Texas to be that. There's an opportunity, right? This is a good problem to have, right? Said Casey Kelly, Constellation's Vice President of State Government Affairs South. If you go back 5 years ago, every market in the country was talking about struggling with low growth. We weren't seeing this economic boom that's coming. This is a good thing. We should be looking at this as a chance to build the Texas economy, to build the U.S. economy, to be a leader in artificial intelligence. If we lose the AI race, we lose to countries that probably don't have the same good intentions that our country has, so we should look at this for what it is, an opportunity to go out there and try to find ways to seize it. Former Texas Commissioner Brandy Marty Marquez, who now runs an eponymous public affairs firm, cautioned against further legislation reacting to the explosion of large loads. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said in 2024 that the data center and crypto mining industries produce very few jobs compared to the incredible demands they place on our grid. We live in a time of scary headlines and knee-jerk reactions, and public policy is the last place where we need a knee-jerk reaction, Marquez said. The education that's been done to explain what this AI increase means to the state, what it means to the nation, has been incredibly helpful. It's incumbent on all of us in this room to make sure that when we're talking about challenges, there are probably very few people in here who have faced a challenge and not immediately had a few ideas about what the solution is. The market will come up with such innovative answers to questions that are raised that keeping politics out of these conversations can sometimes be the most vital thing that all of us have to grapple with. We see over and over again that ever since ERCOT was created, the market does figure this stuff out, Kelly said in agreement. I believe as long as we keep things within a rational market structure, then we will figure this out, and it will be managed. Gleason, we must explain costs. PUC Chair Thomas Gleason keynoted a pre-conference session September 30th of the Commission's 50th anniversary. In drafting a 7-minute speech for a 45-minute agenda item, he gave himself a ton of time to respond to audience questions, as long as it's not a question that I do not want to answer, he joked. Asked how Texas regulators can properly balance reliability and economic efficiency through markets, Gleason acknowledged ERCOT participants were comfortable with operating right on the edge during tight conditions before Winter Storm Uri dropped the grid to its knees in 2021. We heavily focused on affordability, right? We had cheap rates and it worked really well for a long time, he said. People's relationship with electricity changed in 2021. There is more tension than there was previously because of that new relationship that Texans have with their electricity delivery. But I do believe that we have to move away from some of the tools we used and some of the policies that we had to implement right after Uri and get back to this being more of an economic market where we provide the incentives, we're clear about what those incentives are, what our goals are, and then allow private corporations in the industry to respond to those economic incentives. However, Gleason said the need for transmission infrastructure, including 765 kilovolts lines, to meet staggering demand growth and the cost of implementing new policies will invariably increase energy prices. All of these changes that are happening are going to cost a lot of money, and when a lot of money is involved, people really want to ask a lot of questions, and rightfully so, he said. The transmission needs of this state are going to be massive. What we need is the conviction of our decisions. We have to be willing to make those investments, to be honest about what is needed, and educate and inform folks about those costs so they understand the benefit of what they're getting. Balancing reliability and costs. The discussion on affordability continued with a panel of four PUC commissioners from the past. Clement Hagen dredged up an old quote from former ERCOT COO Mike Cleary, "Reliability is king and the queen is competition," and asked Barry Smitherman how to balance reliability imperatives with a competitive market. "It's tricky," he responded. "We always talk about the three-legged stool. So I can give you reliability, I can give you cheap prices, I can give you clean energy, but you can't get all three. And over time, one of them has been predominant, but not always predominant. In the beginning of competition, it was about price. We wanted to get the cheapest price. Yes, we want them all. We want to balance it, but I think we always need to be cognizant that first and foremost, this market was created to be competitive and pure," Smitherman added. "Competition should be the North Star of our market design. We want companies banging up against each other to produce power at the cheapest price, and we want retail electric providers to be competing against each other for customers, and that'll translate into cheap prices as well. I understand the focus on reliability, but I think it's always the case that we should be balancing or rebalancing these three legs of the stool." Bob G. asked whether ERCOT remains an energy-only market with its ancillary services, heavy use of operating reserves, and the $10 billion Texas Energy Fund to incent more gas generation, responded, "Only nominally." He recalled the development of ERCOT's operating reserve demand curve, a mechanism that rewards traditional capacity and investment in batteries, quick start thermal units, and other new technologies. G said he was told by a PhD economist that the ORDC effectively works like a capacity market because you were asking folks to basically have a plant on standby. You're giving them generators a revenue stream. And that ERCOT is all these other different things that they're contemplating trying to put into place, G said, referring to yet-to-be-deployed real-time co-optimization and dispatchable reliability reserve service. When you layer on all these protections, these band-aids or whatever you want to call it, you become less reliant upon the open and transparent operation of the market to send the price signal, he said. I think you're moving away from an energy-only construct and more of an administrative oversight regime, which would mask the clear transmission of prices. Collaboration necessary with ERCOT. A pair of longtime ERCOT stakeholders discussed changes they have seen in the ISO stakeholder process. GCPA President Beth Garza, a senior fellow with the Earth Street Institute, has served as ERCOT's independent market monitor and currently represents consumers on the ISO's Technical Advisory Committee. She said as the organization has grown in strength and capabilities, it has become more of the driving force for change. "I compare and contrast that to sort of my day in the stakeholder process, when ERCOT was a group of maybe a couple, 300 people, and the first wholesale deregulation was driven completely by stakeholders, and that was the way that carried us forward," Garza said. "I think in many ways, a lot of things are sort of before Uri and after Uri. In the aftermath, combined with the sort of growth and development and expansion of expertise and capability of the ERCOT organization, we see that organization being a more powerful and stronger voice for change. I am concerned that may diminish multiple stakeholder perspectives on reaching the good solution, and that's the concern as I step back into the stakeholder process, that I'm not seeing as much sort of collaboration from a problem-solving perspective. I am worried about the loss of the multidimensional problem-solving capability. Today, it is much more of a collaborative effort, and I would give ERCOT kudos for its ability to integrate and make changes to its systems," said Mark Dreyfus, who represents commercial entities on TAC. "I think the whole market has confidence in ERCOT's ability to implement these major market changes. But like Beth, I think that policy development has to be collaborative. The policy input from ERCOT has to be balanced with the policy input for the stakeholder community, and I am worried that today it's not quite in balance. I am working as a stakeholder to work within the process to restore that balance. These issues we face are really challenging. They're really meaningful for the bottom lines of everybody in here." GCPA award to LCRA's Holt. The Lower Colorado River Authority's Blake Holt was presented with the GCPA's 2025 Empowering Young Professionals Award, given annually to an individual under the age of 40 who has demonstrated excellence in the power industry and serves as a role model and leader for others. A third-generation Texas utility veteran, Holt has more than a decade of experience in the industry. He currently serves as LCRA's Director of ERCOT Regulatory Policy, overseeing advocacy efforts at ERCOT and the PUC, and has spent more than a decade in the industry. Previously, he spent 12 years at ERCOT, working in settlements and leading the market designs and analysis department. He currently represents LCRA on the Technical Advisory Committee and chairs its Wholesale Market Subcommittee. Blake exemplifies the kind of leader our industry needs, someone who combines technical acumen with genuine care for developing the next generation of professionals. Emily Jolly, LCRA's Chief Regulatory and Compliance Officer, said in a statement, "His dedication to mentoring others and his ability to navigate complex regulatory challenges make him a standout choice for this recognition."